That's awesome. I'm sure you come here this morning wondering what one big question is on your mind right now. What makes hope hope? We're going to answer that. Isn't that great? Nobody was thinking that. Well, that we're done with Acts now. Everybody go. So now we're going on to what makes hope hope. And it's just a one-week series. Hamlet's going to do something else next week, and then Steve will be back, and we'll roll with whatever he's got planned. But what makes hope hope? This past year was my first year on staff at Hope, and I had a lot of coffee. Not that much coffee. A lot of conversations while other people were drinking coffee. And they told me what makes hope hope. They told me why they keep coming back to Hope. Why they originally came and why they keep coming back. Are you ready? Yes. This is exciting. You get to know what makes hope hope. And I'm not making you wait till the end of the sermon. Here we go. We place a high priority on the Bible. If you've never been here or you've been here a couple times, you just need to know. We place a high priority on the Bible. We're going to read from it. We're going to look at it. We're going to examine it. We're going to apply it to our lives. We place a high priority on the Bible. Number two, we keep the gospel message of Jesus Christ central in all that we do. The cross is what it's all about. It's not about us. It's not about how cool of a ministry or how great a PowerPoint we run or anything like that. It's about Christ. It's about God. It's about the sacrifice He made because we needed it. Our relationship with God was broken, and He came to restore that relationship. So we keep Jesus Christ central. We remain culturally relevant. Case in point, that's worshipful, but that's culturally relevant, isn't it? Number four. We care about people. Apparently there are churches that don't care about people because they're saying, Hope, you care about people. And that was shocking to some people. The final one. We have created an environment at Hope with intangible qualities that people are drawn to. I don't know any other way to express it. We're not threatening. We're authentic, we're honest with one another, we're open about our struggles. I got dark corners that I'm working on, you have dark corners you're working on. We just have some intangible qualities that people are drawn to. And these five things, more than there are other things mentioned, you know, Pastor Steve is cute and things like that, but these five things were kept showing up as I talked with people. We're getting bigger as a body, as a family, and this fall we're going to be going to two services. Once the college students come back, it gets packed out, and we're going to be going to two services. And the last two that I listed there, that we care about people, and that we have this atmosphere, it's kind of tough to define, but we have created this atmosphere that people enjoy being around, those two are going to be tested, extremely tested, as we go to two services, as we continue to grow. And so I want to give our attention today to keeping hope, hope. It's going to become more difficult as people walk through that door, people that we've never seen before. It's going to be more difficult for us to keep hope, hope, that we're continuing to care about people. We're continuing to be real with one another. And so I've taken this time, it's pastor's open microphone, to talk about attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You know, I love this church. I love what I started coming to Hope when I was a sophomore, I think, at the U of M, and I just love Hope. And maybe you have fallen in love with the people here and the atmosphere that's created, the experiences of worship that you've had, and I just want us to keep it up. I want us to keep going. And we're going to take you through three things this morning: the unity, the diversity, and the maturity of hope. Unity, diversity, and maturity. Let's start with the unity. Looking at Ephesians 4, verses 3 through 6. The Bible calls us to do this. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. In Scripture, it talks about the body being one, being united. And the thing I love about the leadership of Hope, Pastor Steve, others, is that we major on the majors and we minor on the minors. I think that's what brings forth unity. We're not going to get off on some theological tangent and build a church on that. It's not what we're going to do. We're going to be united. We're going to be one body, being led by one Spirit. We believe we're called to one hope through Christ. We follow one Lord, Jesus Christ, experiencing one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all. It's the beauty of unity. It was brought up actually in a membership class that I was a part of, and this one guy asked, you know, what is there any evidence of the Spirit's moving at Hope? And I loved what Norm said. He said, look at how united we are. I don't know if you remember saying that, Norm, but I just remember that. It just was such a powerful impact. It's like the Spirit is present because you can tell, look how united we are as a people. We're close. And that's beautiful. Many churches that we hear stories of aren't experiencing that unity. There's disunity. There's fractured relationships. People just don't like each other. And so I'm thankful that Hope is a place that's blessed with unity. The next piece is the beauty of diversity. The passage we're going to look at is 1 Corinthians 12. And this passage continually stresses unity in the midst of diversity, diverse people. Look at with me, verse 7, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Now, to each one of us, followers of Christ, the manifestation of the Spirit, basically a gift of the Spirit, is given for the common good, for everybody else. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. Okay, somebody out there is wise. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit. Okay, oneness. And He gives them to all different people just as He determines. There's that diversity. The body is a unit. Unity. Though it's made up of many parts. And though all the parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. So it is with the body, with our church family. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Doesn't matter who you are, Jews, Greeks, slave, free, young, old, male, female. We are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many, many parts. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should do the same thing, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole, listen to this, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Matt McNee said, it's like, can you imagine just a body full of arms? I mean, can you imagine that in your mind, just arms everywhere? And just armpit stink would just be terrible. I'd just be like, man, can I get a non-smelly ear or something? But in fact, look, verse 18, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, that's you and I, just as He wanted them to be. If we were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with us. So again, in this passage, it talks about the unity, that we are together in this. If one part suffers, we all suffer. But yet there's this diversity saying, we can't all be hands. We can't all be feet. We need a liver and a kidney. And do we need a liver? I think we can get rid of a kidney. But every one of you is essential. Okay? If you're a follower of Christ, the Spirit has given you a gift, as verse 7 talks about, to be used for everybody else. It's not for you, it's for everybody else to be blessed by. passage that mirrors this one talks about similar stuff is Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. By the grace given me, I say to every one of you, this is Paul, he's saying this, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Again, here it comes. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a person's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. All these different gifts are necessary. And people out here, people that you're sitting with, have these different gifts. And they're essential to the body. I don't know if hearing this big list of gifts makes you wonder what gifts you have, but we have a class, it's called the Shape class, and we actually take people through a process, through a study, through some different group work, and you can help find out what gift God may have given you, what gifts God may have given you. And we're actually going to be doing that this year through the small groups. And so if you're in a small group, you're going to be going through this, and you're going to get a chance to look at yourself and see, hey, did God give me a gift of leadership, of showing mercy, of giving to the needs of others, of prophecy? Each small group is going to get to go through this. And so we're not going to spend time right now diagnosing what gift you may or may not have as much as I want to just share a couple warnings real quick. First warning, pride. You may be the only one in this body that has the gift of wisdom. God just blessed you, Tim. Boom. Tim's got the gift of wisdom. Only one in the body. What does Scripture say about that? Look at verse 3 of Romans 12. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, Tim. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, all right? Okay? He's got the gift of wisdom. But think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. God gave you the gift of wisdom. All right? If it weren't for him, you wouldn't have it. So don't get proud about your gifts. Next warning, ungratefulness. Ephesians 4:7 says this, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. 1 Corinthians 12:11. I got it here. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Don't be ungrateful for what you do or don't have, because it was God, it was Christ who said, I want John to have this gift. And so don't be ungrateful for what you have or don't have. Selfishness, 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each one of us, the manifestation, the gifts of the Spirit, is given for the common good. You've been given a gift not for you to hoard, but for the common good, for the rest of the body, for this family. God might have blessed you to be a great servant. And what the Bible says is, that's not for you to serve yourself as much as to serve others. Romans 12:5. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You're not on your own. You belong to the rest of the body. So don't be selfish. Envy. Last one, fourth, envy. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 15 through 18. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. Okay? Gosh, I wanted to have the gift of wisdom. The gift of encouragement I have just stinks. I don't want that gift. You know, I want to be wise. You know, and so don't envy other people's gifts. All right? Couple warnings. Now, unity, diversity, the beauty of maturity. This is sweet stuff. This is just, I get so excited. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. I'm following my other pastor's leads, and I did a little Yahoo search, so we're going to have pictures that go with these words. All right. It was Jesus, okay, verse 11, it was Jesus who gave some to be apostles. I don't know if you can see, but there's a little, like, ring of light around the Apostle Peter there. He's the one who came up. I'm just wondering, like, 2,000 years from now, like, will people, like, look back in, on our pictures and we'll have, like, this, is it, like, a pier, or how does that work? Like, the little halo? They'll, like, know we're Christians then, because we'll have the little halo. Okay, so Christ gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets. That's Jeremiah came up. Some to be evangelists. That's Michael Evangelist. He just graduated in 2003. And then Lauren Evangelist, she's a heck of a lacrosse player. So if you go on Yahoo and look up Evangelist, that's... She's like Player of the Year or something. Just a great evangelist. Okay, let's do a different search for evangelist. Oh, here's the one we know. Hey, how you doing? Young and old. All right. So Christ has given some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors... Okay. Yahoo search, I swear. No, I don't. No, I don't. And some to be teachers, okay? Yeah. Doesn't he look young there, huh? Young buck. Okay, now why? Why did God do this? Why did he set these people in place? Just got to keep reading. To prepare God's people for works of service. Different leaders that are in place in the church. The leader, we have a leadership team that consists of like 12 or 16 people. An overseer team that consists of 7 people. We got a pastoral staff of 3. We got a staff that's probably 14. I mean, different people that have been put in place. Why is that? It's to prepare us, all of us, to serve for works of service. So now I just got to work? What's fun about that? Ah, yes, fun. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. 3 things there. We're going to do this, okay? We're going to serve, we're going to work. Whatever gifts God has given us, we're going to use them for the blessing of others. So everybody gets helped out. It's going to build up the body. And we're going to do this, okay, there's a timeline, until we all reach unity in the faith. All of us are going to be united in the faith. 2nd thing, we're all going to be united in our knowledge of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We're going to keep doing this. We're going to keep serving. We're going to keep helping out one another. We're going to do it until we're all united in our knowledge of God's Son. And the last thing, we're going to do it until we're mature. Until we're mature. And the description that is added on in the Bible, that we'll be attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's just a sweet phrase. It's like attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's like it just keeps getting bigger, you know. It's just like huge and awesome to think of what it looks like to be attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Can you imagine what that looks like? But you're not just doing it by yourself. It's not saying, go get your own books and go hide in a corner and pray and do that. No, it's saying, we all get to experience it. We're all serving one another, helping one another. And as a big group, we're going to attain this huge goal of building up the body, of becoming mature, of attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's just phenomenal imagery. Continuing on, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. That's Christ. He's the head of the body. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There it is, same imagery of the body. Each part doing its work, yet we're one body. What does this look like? Practically, boil it down for me. Make it simple. What does this look like? How are we going to get this lofty vision of attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? What does that look like on a daily basis. When we get together for a worship service, when we're in a small group, what does it look like? There's two pieces that's mentioned here. We're going to perform works of service based on giftedness, based on our passions, based on experiences. We're going to serve other people. We're going to help other people. And the other thing is, we're going to speak the truth in love to one another, Pete, to one another. We're going to speak the truth in love. So there's works and there's words. Boiling it down even further, we're going for unity amongst all this diversity, all these gifts that you guys have. The goal is a unity, a building up of one another, the body becoming mature. Why wouldn't one be united in the faith? Why wouldn't one of us be united in our knowledge of the Son of God? Why wouldn't we be mature? I don't know if this has been anybody's situation, but for instance, what if one of you had a situation in which you were raised in a family where there was domestic abuse? Okay, well, one thing we believe here is that God is a loving Heavenly Father. And you might not understand that. You might not believe that because your earthly father was a piece of junk to you. Abused you physically, emotionally, verbally. And you're sitting here going, I can't believe that God is a loving Heavenly Father. I would classify you as somebody not being united with the church in your view of God as a loving Heavenly Father. So how are we going to do that? How are we going to help with that? I want to find somebody else who's maybe had that same experience and bring you two together. And this person that cannot believe that God is a loving Heavenly Father will come together with somebody who, though he had a poor example as far as an earthly father, he still believes and sees God as a loving Heavenly Father. You can help this person become united in their knowledge of God. Okay? Let's try this at an even more practical level. Jared, where'd Jared Amon go? Did he go? Yeah, Ray, come here. And Chris, come up, quick. On the hop. These guys don't. I know Jared. And one thing I know about Jared is he's gifted in giving. God has blessed him with a giving heart, and I don't think we're supposed to do that publicly, but okay. And Chris is going to take part in LDI. He's in need of somebody to give, right? And so I want to bring these two together. Jared, Chris. Chris, Jared. Okay. Now you guys are going to sit down there together, okay? Highland, come here. Come here, Highland. Come on. On the hop. All right, here we go. Highland is blessed as an evangelist. He just loves sharing his faith, okay? Bill. Bill doesn't know the Lord yet. He's been coming to this church for 6 years and he doesn't know Jesus yet. Okay? So I want to bring these two together. All right? There you go. Okay, you guys are right there now. John, come here. Gifted musician, right? God has given him a spiritual gift to just pound on that drum in a way that nobody else can, all right? Except other drummers here. And you might think, man, could God use me as a drummer? You know, do I have a spiritual gift to drum as part of a worship band? Okay? I want to hook you two up. Is anybody taking drumming lessons from you? Somebody was, right? David? Yeah. Okay, see? It's like each person here, you know, we need to like link people up because you're going to support one another and it's like ligaments. And you don't always have to just be connected there. But then Highland, who can lead a small group, Mike is looking to be in a small group. And so then he can do, I mean, it's just this interwoven connection that's going on of people mutually encouraging one another to be united in the faith. My sister-in-law, Aletha, loves to just serve. And she's just a merciful person. And somebody might need to be served. And so it's just like, hey, Aletha, can you help so-and-so out? Okay? Are you getting a vision for how this is going to happen? And as we get bigger, how much more challenging it's going to be for us to connect with one another. To make our needs known but then also to be willing to serve. I'm a little like you. When we're packed out on a Sunday morning, I'm looking around at a lot of faces that I don't know. But am I willing to just take the first step, continue to make hope, just be hospitable. Just welcome them. Speak words of truth, words of love into their life. Serve them in whatever way I can. Try and connect them. Thanks for being my examples, guys. Appreciate. Oh, you're just. Oh, see, they don't even want to be connected anymore. That's just. Now we're going to be challenged. Biblically and culturally, we're going to be challenged. Why biblically? What? This is tough. The Bible calls us to tough stuff. It's like we have to get off our butt and go meet somebody new, and that can be awkward, and it can be like nerve-wracking for some of us to just like. What's your name? Where you're from? What's your major? All that stuff. It can be tough to meet new people constantly, daily. Some of your gifts might require giving financially, and that's hard because finances are tough for a lot of people. It's tough because it might require different resources. Time being the biggest one. That if you're if you love to serve, there are a lot of people who need help moving. Am I right? I mean, there's just people moving all the time. It's just like, so you need to be wise with your time, but you're going to be losing your time. It's going to require you. It's just you are going to, it's going to require sacrifice of you. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ requires you. This isn't just something for the leadership. It's not just something for the pastors. It's a corporate call. It's the whole family. It's the whole body. Doing what they can, pitching in. How are we going to be challenged culturally? Well, what makes hope is that we care about people. And there are a lot of places that people don't feel cared for. They're hanging out in different clubs, different hangouts where they don't feel cared for. And people are longing for connection. And what I know is that a few pastors and the leadership team, and the overseer team, whatever it amounts to, 20, 30 people, we cannot care for everybody. We cannot love on everybody. This can't be just something that we're expected to do. We need everybody to pitch in, to love on one another. How has hope done in the past? How has hope done in this? We've been alive for 9 years, continuing to be a growing organism here. Pretty good. I thank God for that. I thank God for the leadership and the people that have gone before us who have made it happen. It doesn't just happen. They made it happen by sacrificing a lot of themselves. I want to give you just some examples of people. Just look at some of these images. People that you may or may not know, but at one time or another were heavily invested at Hope. Pat and Steve, part of the worship team way back when. Keep going, Rob. The Nelson family, Graham, Kim, four boys, heavily invested in Hope, volunteering a lot of time, a lot of sacrifice, caring for people, loving on people, making hope. Who's next? Rhonda Gross, tons of a time, just invested in the children and the different kids. Amanda, heavily invested, just one of the first people to start coming to Hope and just got invested, just loving on people. Keep going. Elizabeth Obaka and Carrie Rain. Elizabeth, do you remember that song she wrote? Anybody from way back when? It is better to trust in God than to trust in kings and trust in men. I still sing that song. She came from Africa and there was just like civil unrest and political unrest, and she wrote this song about trusting in God and not in men, and just blessed me so much. I still sing it. And the first crew of LDIers, the four on the right are no longer a part of Hope. We got Mike and Christy and Allie are all at SPF, I believe. Karen's on the West Coast. People that were heavily invested at one time, making Hope be Hope, and volunteering tons of hours, serving everybody. And then the next one, Darren and Becky, and they've since gone to the West Coast. Just great people, willing to serve and to love on people, willing to do whatever we can to build up the body, so that we might attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then here, it's a picture back in 1999 of our old place. And man, I'd give like good money if you could identify a lot of those people. Because, not just because it's tough to see, but a lot of those people, it's just like, oh yeah, I remember them. And because they graduated and they've hit a different stage of life, they've moved on. But at one point, this is what hope looked like, you know? And we're indebted to them for the ministry that they carried out and all the hours that they sacrificed. I think that's it. Yeah. Are you willing to help hope become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? Here's what I want. Here's what I want. Can I say that? Here's what I'm looking for. As a pastor who, this kind of falls under my job description stuff, like caring for people and new people and all that stuff. And so I'm heavily invested in this, and I love meeting new people, and I try to as much as I can. How are we going to do this? On a practical level, I want to just ask you to make one decision every week to make this happen, to help hope become hope and stay hope, to help us become mature. I think it's all kind of woven together. To help us build up the body, to exercise your gifts. Just one decision a week. Okay? It might come in a small group. It might come when you're here on a Sunday morning. It might come outside of this place. Make one decision to work. Okay, you're either going to do a work of service or speak the truth in love. So do one of those things just once a week for the next year. Now I added the year part on there. It gets a little better. But making a decision one time a week, just one decision, okay? Now listen, about 200 people in here, right? Each making a decision over about 50 weeks of the next year, 10,000 decisions. That's the kind of group effort that's going to keep this thing rolling. That's going to keep this hope being hope. That's going to allow us to become mature, build up the body, and attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Will you pray with me? God, that's our hope. That we can honor you with all that you've given us, God, salvation through Christ alone, that you've restored our relationship with you, that you've invited us to be a part of your family, a part of this local family at Hope. God, we are indebted to you, and we can never repay you. But God, given that you've given us these gifts, God, help us to serve you, to love others, to speak truth and love. I love what Coach Herb Brooks said. Of the most powerful and enjoyable moment of his whole 1980 Olympic experience was when the 20 young men were on the podium receiving their gold medals, and he said this: the sight of 20 young men of such differing backgrounds now standing as one, young men willing to sacrifice so much of themselves, all for an unknown. God, we don't know what attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ looks like. But God, we still want to go for it. We still want to sacrifice for it. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.